بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So brothers and sisters, we're going to continue now with the last part of the of this evening's portion of the seminar. I hope everyone has been benefiting. It pleases us again to continue with our dear beloved brother Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi. I just want to let everyone know that we have some handouts that are the questions out of the book, the small treatises of questions from Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. So we're handing out those small booklets so everyone can follow along with Abu Muhammad, and also we're going to be passing them out on the sister side. We're just figuring out how many, what the count is over there. But please take advantage of having the actual Arabic text with you, and we hope that you benefit from it. Barakallahu feek. And without further ado, we continue with the Fadl Mashkur.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. May Allah reward them. First, we start by those who print this booklet. The only thing now, you see, they're doing it the English way. Okay, so you have to flip like you're doing English. Huh? Yeah, ولا بأس الحمد لله. جزاهم الله خيرا. على ين جزاهم الله خيرا. تفضل. Alhamdulillah, we're still in the first question, because the first question was... remind you, we're reading from this booklet actually that we found at the website of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. 48 questions in Siyam. But now we're giving you that not for you to read the questions and continue to read, but we want you to follow with us. Not to just like forget about the talk and keep reading and, you know? No, we want you to follow with us, inshallah, and take notes. Not to keep, I'm talking. So there's no purpose for me then if you just brothers are reading and flipping pages. Okay, yeah. Then, no. Inshallah, that's for you to keep with you, inshallah, to benefit from at home. But also to take notes if you want and the like, and you follow with me. Not to be reading in the whole booklet. Huh? La. You can do that later on after the class, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. So now remember the, how many, who can give me the number, how many things the Shaykh mentioned that the things that nullify the fast? How many? The number? Three things. We have three, but that's in the Quran. The Shaykh says in the Quran there is three. What are they? Eating, food and drinks, and an intercourse. Nah. But what is together? How many we study together from the thing that nullifies the fast? Eight. Nah. Eight things. Okay? Now remember, what we're going to mention now is very important. The Shaykh, he says, these eight that you mentioned, food. If the person who's fasting, who can remind us of the definition of fasting? What is the definition of siyam? Ma huwa siyam, na'am? Linguistically? It's to abstain from something. That's linguistically. But in Islam, what is it? In the middle after Fajr, What that mean to you? Do you understand that statement? In the middle of Fajr. Do you understand yourself? You, Yahya, do you understand what you just said? The middle of Fajr? What does it mean? What did it mean?
From Fajr
to sunset. No, that's different. Middle of Fajr is... Okay, from Fajr. That's good, as I understand. Everybody understand this one, right? From Fajr. Naam, from Fajr until?
Sunset.
Uh-huh. Is his ta'rif correct? His definition correct? Naam?
Stay away from haram.
Aina.
Abstain from haram.
That's good too. But, naam. But he's missing something else in the definition. Something in the definition, Yahya. You good. You stay from food, drinks, and all of the other things that break the fast from Fajr until sunset, and you're missing one thing. Naam, sorry. Ta'abbudan lillah. Why you leave this stuff? To lose weight? Because everybody doing it? Why? To please Allah as an act of worship. Aynam, as an act of worship. And of course, the fasting person should stay away from haram. The easiest part, as some of the ulama of the Salaf, they said, the easiest part of fasting is to stay away from food and drink. But the tongue has to fast also from backbiting, from slandering, from lying. The eyes has to fast. The ears has to fast from listening to haram and the like. Nah. But now listen. This what we're going to mention is important, because when the Shaykh, he mentioned, and the ulama, they mentioned these things that break the fast, but we have to understand them. Okay? In this way. قال وَإِذَا وَقَعَتْ هَذِهِ الْمُفَطِّرَاتِ فِي نَهَارِ رَمَضَانِ مِنْ صَائِمْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّوْمِ تَرَتَّبَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ أَرْبَعَةُ أُمُورِ. If any of these eight, it doesn't mean that the person have to do all these eight for his fast to break, to be broken. One is enough. One is enough. If any of these eight things, a person performed them in the day of Ramadan, not the night of Ramadan, in the day of Ramadan, a person whose fast is obligatory upon him, meaning not the sick person, not the person who is traveling on a journey, and the like, not the mensing woman, and the like, he says, now four things take place. Awalan al-ithm. Number one is a sin for someone who knows that he should stay away from food, but he's going to go and eat. He's going to eat and then say, I'm going to make it up later on. Now that's a sin, because he's disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, fasad as-sawm. When a person falls in any one of these things, make his fast void. Number three, wujub al-imsak baqiyat dhalik al-yawm. Because this person now has to make a tawbah. If a person eat breakfast and he's like, oh, listen, this American man, I gotta eat some breakfast. But then later on he's like, astaghfirullah, tawbu ilayh. So he has, that breaks the fast that day, but he shouldn't eat lunch. He should stay fasting until sunset. Rabi'an wujub al-qada. Making up that day or days become obligatory. Okay? وإن كان الفطر بالجماع ترتب على ذلك أمر خامس أي نعم وهو ماذا الكفارة. But here is the question: what is that? The thing that if a person do break the fast and also have to expiate with repentance and making up the day, the person has to expiate for that. So the question is two parts. What is the expiation and what is that thing that nullifies the fast? Now, what is it? Intercourse, ahsant. If a person is obligatory upon that person to fast, but he went and have intercourse with his wife anyway in the daytime, because it's halal in the nighttime, from Maghrib until Fajr, it's halal. So that break the fast. Does he just make it up another day? So he make up that day and make tawbah from the sin, and with that to free slave. If he's not able to do what? Fast. It's not or. This is not do this or this. Gotta be in this order. First free a Muslim slave. Not able, then go to fast 2 months in a row. The ulama, they says if he fast 40 days and break it for no reason, he has start all over again. Start all over. So he has to fast 2 months, right? So 60 days, right? Or 61 days, which one? 60? What about 59? 58? No 58? Why not? Yeah, it could be 29 or 29. You see? So it's not 60, because now when we talk about the months, it's very important to pay attention. When in Islam, anything, fast 2 months. The woman, she has 3 months. This, that is the Hijri calendar. It's the Muslim months, not the Gregorian months. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he tells us that the Muslim months, the Hijri months, they are 29 or 30. So it's not always automatically we say, oh, two months, somebody translate to 60 days. It could be 60 days if those months, if this person decide to fast Rajab and Sha'ban. If both of them, Rajab has 30 and Sha'ban has 30, now he's fasting what? 60. But if Rajab was 29 and Sha'ban was 30, so what? He's 59. But if Rajab and Sha'ban, both of them have 29, he's fasting what? 58. So it's not 2 months. It's 2 months, not 60 days. Okay? Tayyib. If he can't fast those 2 months in a row, then that person goes and feed 60 poor, the ulama, they mentioned, gotta be Muslims. Alhamdulillah. Now. ولكن يقول شيخ العثيمين يجب أن نعلم أن هذه المفطرات لا تفسد الصوم إلا بشروط ثلاثة. But also keep in mind that all of this مفطرات, these eight things, this eight category that breaks the fast, if a person falling into one of them, any one of them, that nullifies fast with three conditions. Not anybody who does any one of this. Not anybody who eats. Not anybody who drink. Okay? No. With three conditions. أولا العلم. ثانيا الذكر يكون ذاكرا. ثالثا الإرادة. He has to have knowledge. He knows that these things break the fast. Not like someone who just took shahada, and then they told him, Akhi, subhanAllah, you took shahada in a very nice month, blessed month, Ramadan. And they told him, look, Ramadan consists of this. They don't want to give him a lot. They says, look, you don't eat and you don't drink, and if you're married, no intercourse, because intercourse outside marriage is haram in Islam, no girlfriend in Islam, okay? And no mut'a neither, alright? So, alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah, Allah guide you to Al-Islam, but we want you to fast. It's good for you. Don't eat. Eat before, alhamdulillah. Fajr come at 5:30, for example, or 5 o'clock. Eat before that. Alright? Eat what you can, inshallah. But you gotta stop from eating and drinking anything until Maghrib, which is in tomorrow, is gonna be at this time, 8:15, for example. Okay? But nobody told him, you know, other stuff. You know? So he went and fell in one of those things that break the fast that nobody told him. He didn't have knowledge. Okay? Dhakiran, meaning he remember, meaning the nasi. So the one who forget, nothing is upon the one who forgets. The likewise, nothing upon the one who is ignorant of the ruling. Wal murid. Ayna'am. So, it is nothing against the one who's mukrah, the one who was forced to do something, okay? No. قال فإذا تناول الصائم شيئا من هذه المفطرات جاهلا فصيامه صحيح سواء كان جاهلا بالوقت أو كان جاهلا بالحكم. نعم. على هذه لا لا أبدا لا شيء عليها إذا كانت لا تستطيع مدافعته لا شيء عليها لا شيء عليها أين بارك الله فيك. So the Sheikh says فإذا تناول الصائم شيئا من هذه المفطرات جاهلا. So if a person did any one of these things, falling into one of the things that break the fast out of ignorance, he don't know that this is the thing that break the fast, his fasting is what? Sahih. Sahih. He's sound. Whether he is ignorant of the time that he don't supposed to do these things in, or ignorant of the rule in itself. مثال الجاهل بالوقت. Sheikh is going to give an example of somebody who don't know that this action should not be done at this time. Okay? مثال ذلك أن يقوم الرجل في آخر الليل ويظن أن الفجر لم يطلع فيأكل ويشرب ويتبين أن الفجر قد طلع فهذا صومه صحيح لأنه جاهل بالوقت. جاهل بالوقت. For example, he says, Sheikh Al-Adini says, it is a person, he wakes up at night, okay, for suhoor. He ate, he was eating, drinking. He didn't know Fajr comes in. He's really Fajr already in, but he don't know. To him, it's still night. But then somebody told him, or he himself find out that he was eating way after Fajr, but he didn't know. That person's fasting is what? Sahih. Okay? هذا صومه صحيح لأنه كان جاهل بالوقت. He don't know. Okay? ومثال الجاهل بالحكم as the example of someone who was ignorant of the ruling أن يحتجم الصائم وهو لا يعلم أن الحجامة مفطرة فيقال له صومك صحيح. نعم. Somebody who perform حجامة, somebody tell him, oh, you have aches. A lot of headaches, come, I'll take you to this brother, the hijama. He did hijama, but he didn't know the rulings. That person, nothing against him. His fasting is sound. والدليل على ذلك قول الله تعالى ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا من القرآن. هذا دليل من القرآن سورة البقرة. Our Lord, do not hold us accountable if we, when we forget or when we err, when we wrong ourselves, make a mistake. قال هذا دليل من القرآن ومن السنة. Now دليل from the سنة حديث أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله عنهما الذي رواه البخاري في صحيحه. Is the hadith of أسماء, the daughter of Abu Bakr رضي الله عنهما. This is the sister of عائشة رضي الله عنها. So she narrated, as the Imam al-Bukhari mentioned in صحيح, قالت, she said, أفطرنا يوم غيم على عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم طلعت الشمس. الله أكبر. So she said one time when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم still alive in Ramadan, she said it was overcast, a lot of clouds, it become dark. She said we break the fast. They thought that was Maghrib. ثم طلعت الشمس. After they broke the fast, thinking that this is Maghrib, then the sun appears again. It clears out and the sun is still there. قال الشيخ بن عثيمين فصار إفطارهم في النهار. So he says, so these people, they break the fast when? In the daytime. But when it is legislated to us to break the fast? At Maghrib, at sunset. قال ولكنهم لا يعلمون بل ظنوا أن الشمس قد غربت. But them, they didn't know. They thought because it was so dark, they thought. Remember at that time there was no clocks. Now, alhamdulillah, we have. Look, Maghrib come at 8:15, for example. Now, if it's overcast right after Asr, 1 hour after Asr by 6:30, just because it's dark over there, say, Bismillah, let's eat. Can we do that or not? طيب. So then they thought that it's sunset. Okay? وَلَمْ يَأْمُرْهُمَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْقَضَىٰ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he didn't order them to make up that day. Allahu Akbar. He didn't order them to make up that day. وَلَوْ كَانَ الْقَضَاءُ وَاجِبًا لَأَمَرَهُمْ بِهِ وَلَوْ أَمَرَهُمْ بِهِ لَنُقِلَ إِلَيْنَا. Allahu Akbar. He said, if the right thing to do for them, since they ate in day of Ramadan, but under those circumstances, if they had to make up that day, the Prophet ﷺ would certainly tell them, make up the day. Yes, you made a mistake, but make up the day. But he didn't. But and then the Shaykh al-Utaymin, he says, had the Prophet ﷺ ordered them, because somebody may say, hey, maybe he ordered them. He said, he ordered them, will be transmitted to us by the Sahaba. They will say it. ولكن لو أفطر ظانا غروب الشمس وظهر أنها لم تغرب وجب عليه الإمساك حتى تغرب وصومه صحيح. So the Sheikh said, but now if a person somewhere and it was dark and thought that that's it, it's Maghrib already, night comes in, and that person broke his fast, but then after that the sun comes in, he clears out, alhamdulillah, that person at that moment should, don't say, hey, I already broke my fast, let's eat. La, at that moment when they see the sun, they have to stop and continue fasting until the sunset, and they do not make up that day. Is it clear? No. هذا الشرط الأول لعلم, having knowledge. الشرط الثاني, the second condition, أن يكون ذاكرا, وضد الذكر النسيان. Person, he knows what he's doing. Alright? Not the case of someone who forgets. Okay, because that's the opposite. Someone who knows what he's doing, someone who is like, he wants to eat breakfast, and then somebody told him, his roommate say, Akhi, it's Ramadan. He said, Akhi, Ramadan, we're in America, brother. Listen, man. I gotta do what I gotta do, brother. Alright, listen, man. You see? It's not like someone who will live by himself and he has a habit. Every morning he get up, the first thing, sit for himself, a cup of coffee. The first day of Ramadan, cup of coffee. And he's drinking it. Somebody tell him, Akhi, you know it's Ramadan today. Oh, Ramadan. La ilaha illa, it's Ramadan, you know? So he's like, then that person, you know, just from the reaction that they know, you know that that person, he forgets. Okay? So the Sheikh, he says, that the person, for the person to be liable and make up that day, he has to know what he's doing. But if a person, he forgets, nothing is against them. قال فلو نسي الصائم فأكل أو شرب فصومه صحيح. لنفس الآية. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. So he said, if a person who's fasting eats and drinks out of forgetfulness, somebody, yes, he's fasting, but then he go and get him a sandwich. Lunchtime, he's at work, he get a lunch. That's all that person do. Whenever he take a lunch break, he do what? Hey, oh, shut up. Hey, okay. Hey. Another example. This imam has a habit. Every Jumu'ah he has to drink. When he sits for the istiraha, he drinks. And somebody from the people forget Ramadan, actually, and put the water in there, and the person drink. What's the people going to say? Mawlana Sheikh, we follow him? We follow the Sheikh. Oh, that's it. Alhamdulillah. This Jumu'ah is Mubarakah. That's a blast. Jumu'ah, no fasting. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. The imam is there to be followed. So we all gonna drink water in Jumu'ah? This is how we understand the deen? La. We don't understand the deen like that. And now, if that person is drinking, somebody remind him, said, Ya Sheikh, Ramadan. He was like, oh, Jazakallah khair, and he put it down. And now. وقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه من نسي وهو صائم فأكل أو شرب فليتم صومه فإنما أطعمه الله وسقه. So we have the same ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah doesn't hold accountable those who forget or do things out of mistakes. Also the hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, and the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه, if a person forgets while fasting and eats and or drink, then remember or somebody remind them about the fast, then they continue fasting that day, nothing against them. They don't have to make up that day. Allah has given them that to eat and drink. Naam. Naam. والشرط الثالث, the third condition, الإرادة. فلو فعل الصائم شيئا من هذه المفطرات بغير إرادة منه واختيار فصومه صحيح. So if a person does this, fall in any of these things that break the fast, but being forced to do that, compelled to do it. Okay? His fasting is sahih. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُ تَمَدْمَدَ وَنَزَلَ الْمَاءُ إِلَىٰ بَطْنِهِ بِدُونِ إِرَادَ فَصَوْمُهُ صَحِيحٌ. Like if a person, for example, in wudu, because we make wudu for salat, let's say a person making wudu for dhuhr, and he put water in his mouth. This is called madmada. By mistake, he drank something. What happened? His fasting is gone? La. He didn't mean it. Because Allah knows. Allah muttali ala sarair. But if somebody else is like, okay. He's drinking. That's different. Is it? He's like, oh man, that's the only way to get me some water. And he may even make wudu with a cold bottle just came from the freezer. Choose to do that. He's like, ah. Now this person now, he choose to drink. You see the difference in example? No, this person, he knows, no, don't drink nothing. But as he making the madmada, something went down. Nothing against that person. All right? No. That's why there is a su'al. It may come later on, because some people, they says, oh, no. Madmada should not even be performed while you're fasting. Just to avoid that, falling in. لا يا أخي. Madmada is from the wudu, from fara'id al-wudu. ولو أكره الرجل امرأته على الجماع ولم تتمكن من دفعه. شفت هذا القيد. ولم تتمكن من دفعه. Not like he sent her text message and she came and said, oh, he's the man. Nah. Alright. فصومها صحيح لأنها غير مريدة. And the Sheikh gave an example. He said, if a man, for example, in Ramadan, he forced his wife in a daytime to have intimacy with him, but she couldn't push him away. She couldn't, because usually, the men are stronger than women. But keep in mind, some women you cannot mess with. All right? Some women know some stuff, man. Some karate and stuff. So you gotta know who you're dealing with. Don't just like, oh, she's a woman, I'm the man. Yeah, right. But usually the man is stronger than the woman. Huh? So if a man, strong woman, little, he put her down, and she tried, she said, Taqillah, fear Allah, ya akhi, it's Ramadan, wait until Maghrib. Nothing against her. Why? Because she's a woman? Huh? She was forced. Ayna, barakallahu fi. That's why the ulama, they mention, but if she wants it to herself, she will share the same punish, the thing. Ayna, she's kafara upon her, if she wants it. But she has to repel it, try her best. Ayna. ودليل ذلك قوله تعالى في من كفر مكرها من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. آية في سورة النحل. And he mentioned the ayah. Even if a person was compelled, forced, they said, we're going to kill you if you don't denounce Islam. Or he said, under that, a person, yes, but he has iman in his heart. And there is khilaf with the ulama. What is the better to do? Aina, قصة عمار بن ياسر. What is better to do and the like based on the people that's happened to them? That's another topic for another time, inshallah. فإذا أكره الصائم على الفطر أو فعل مفطرا أو فعل مفطر بدون إرادة فلا شيء عليه وصوم صحيح. So if a person was forced or compelled to do any of the things that break the fast, then nothing against them. Nothing. Alhamdulillah, their fast is sound. السؤال الثاني. This سؤال was... Not all the questions are like this. Somebody may be doing the calculation, the math, and I say, man, we're not going to finish this. Inshallah, we may. Because a lot of other questions, they're small, alhamdulillah. The ijabat are very small, okay? Now, before we go to the second question, this question is clear, alhamdulillah? No, I'm sorry. No. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No. Brother Saeed, he says, what about the calendars, the prayer schedules? That now we have them in almost every masjid, Allah musta'an. You know? This is something that we know. A lot of prayer schedules, and they have a lot of people, they use that to break their fast, for instance, on Maghrib. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen himself, he was asked about that. Ya Sheikh, is this a bid'ah to have prayer schedule or not? The Sheikh says, no. Those prayer schedules, they can be taken into consideration as long as the times that those people who put the prayer schedule, they have to be the exact times of the salawat. Because the time of the salat has been made clear to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the Sunnah. It's clear. Especially Maghrib. So if the Maghrib we see it, like in a bright day, nice day, we see and nothing between us and between the sun. We see how the sun is setting. And we see it. The sun is still there. Look, 8:20, the sun is still there. But the calendar says 8:15 is the Maghrib. Are we going to follow the calendar? Our brother Musa Abu al-Abbas Richardson, he mentioned, he says, he went to the masjid. I don't know if their masjid or another masjid. Maghrib, he's going like maybe 15, 10 minutes away before Maghrib. And as soon as he entering the masjid, he see a group of brothers he don't know, he never seen. They coming out. Him being nice, he says, Salaam alaikum, hayyakum, how you doing, mashallah. Oh yeah, mashallah. He says, Ya Akhwan, he said to the Maghrib is coming soon. Would you be able to stay with us and pray Maghrib? They said, we already pray Maghrib. He said to them, pray Maghrib, why? The sun is there. They said, but the calendar said this. But the prayer schedule already said this. He said, but look, the sun is still there. You see, sometimes this prayer schedule, you can use them, but those who are in charge of the adhan, especially the muaddin, he has to look at those prayer schedules and see through them. Are they really go along with? Huh? Especially those prayer schedules that came from the masajid of Ahlul Bidah, especially in Ramadan. Some prayer schedules come from the masajid who don't follow the sunnah. Especially in Ramadan, they add another time before Fajr. What they call it? Imsak. Imsakiyya. If Fajr at 5 o'clock, now they have another time called Imsakiyya, 4:40. They said, just you gotta stop 20 minutes before Fajr, just in case, to be sure. Yeah, there is no such thing to be sure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who said to eat, continue to eat and drink until Fajr. Now, so those are things to be taken into consideration. If those prayer schedules, yes, they go along with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. Can you direct the brother? Okay, he's going to do it. So this is very important. Barakallahu feekum. Now, as-su'al al-thani. It's okay, leave him. So, السؤال الثاني, هل لقيام رمضان عدد معين أم لا? So, these questions are not in order as like topic after نعم. No, so, they come as we find them, alhamdulillah. The second question was about the تراويح, قيام رمضان. Mainly تراويح for us. Does he have a specific and known numbers of raka'at or no? Okay? If there is a specific number of rak'at that we're supposed to pray in Taraweeh and that's it. Nobody should go beyond that or no? Al-jawab. Laysa liqiyami Ramadan adad mu'ayyan ala sabi al-wujub. He says, now, there is no set number of, or fixed number of units in a prayer in Taraweeh, for example, that a person can say, it is obligatory for you to pray only 11. It's obligatory for your Taraweeh to be 23. It's obligatory to be 33, for example. لا. So there is no such things. فَلَوْ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ قَامَ اللَّيْلِ كُلَّهُ فَلَا حَرَجٍ. If a person choose to pray the whole night, it's okay. If a person wants to pray the whole night, he said, it's still okay. وَلَوْ قَامَ بِعِشْرِينَ رَكْعَةً أَوْ خَمْسِينَ رَكْعَةً فَلَا حَرَجٍ. If a person performed 20 rak'at, or this is another person perform 50 rak'at in a night prayer, it's no problem with that. It's okay. ولكن العدد الأفضل ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله وهو 11 ركعة أو 13 ركعة. But now if he wants the best, you look at the action of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He used to pray 11 or 13 ركعة. فإن أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها سئلت, because the mother of the believers عائشة رضي الله عنها, she was asked, كيف كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي في رمضان? What was the prayer, meaning the night prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in Ramadan? قالت لا يزيد في رمضان ولا في غيره على 11 ركعة. She gave them a comprehensive answer. She says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم never pray more than 11 rak'ah in Ramadan or other than Ramadan. That's what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also in the hadith, Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, لما سئل عن صلاة الليل قال مثنى مثنى, that you pray two and make taslim, two and taslim. إذا خاف أحدكم الفجر فليوتر بواحدة. But when you see that Fajr is coming close, then you make witr with one. Okay? Lakin the Shaykh now is going to give some guidelines as related to those who pray 11. Those who choose to pray 11, he says, لكن يجب أن تكون هذه الركعات على الوجه المشروع. So for those people who wants to choose to pray Taraweeh 11, not 23, not 30, not 26, for example, they want to pray 11, mashallah, they say this is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. But they shouldn't say, as what the Shaykh is saying, to say it's haram for other people to pray more than 11. طيب. And the people in one masjid, they have to follow the imam of the masjid, the people in charge. It's not befitting for other people just because in their country they do 23. Now they want to come to a masjid, they have authority, and they're like, no. No, you can't do that. They're going to pray with the jama'ah of the Muslimun. The same way, you're upon the sunnah, you want to pray 11, and you go to another masjid, and they pray 23. What you do? You go to them and tell them you're mubtadi'ah? La. This is not how the deen is understood, barakallahu feekum. Naam. So the Shaykh said, now, but this 11 rak'ah, how should be performed? Subhanallah, he has to be performed according to the sunnah. Since you choose to pray 11 because this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, well, don't just take the number. You're going to take how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to perform them as well. قال فينبغي أن يطيل فيها القراءة والركوع والسجود والقيام بعد الركوع والجلوس بين السجدتين. The imam be, if he does this, he be fired. That's it. Gotta get out of here. He said, now, look, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he said, if you want to choose to the sunnah in the number 11, you have to choose the actions too. Follow the action of the Prophet. What do you mean? You have to make the recitation long. And ruku', a long ruku'. When you rise up from the ruku', you stand up there for a while. The sujood is long. The jalsa, the sitting between the sujudain, long. Meaning the rak'ah will be how much? It'd be a long rak'ah. Not like people, they pray 11 rak'ah in 25 minutes. Sunnah. That's the sunnah. Prophet ﷺ used to make it long. قال خلاف ما يفعله بعض الناس اليوم يصليها بسرعة تمنع المأمومين أن يفعلوا ما ينبغي أن يفعلوه. He says this is totally the habit of some people do these days, he says. Yes, they choose 11 and they tell you that's a sunnah. That's what the Prophet ﷺ used to do and to pray. But they don't pray the same way the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. They pray this 11 so quick that they don't even give the time. That imam don't even give the time to the people behind him to even make dhikr. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu Akbar. Allah. They sweating. This is not a dojo, man. This. Hey, that's it. And they like praying, but they like they exercise it. So fast, he says, they don't even give the time for the people behind him to do what the necessary, the requirement of the salah. Ruku', Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. That's it. No time for them to even to say Subhana Rabbiyal al-Azim wa bihamdi once. Sujood, you're in Ramadan. A lot of people want to make dua for their parents. They want to make dua for the Muslims who are going through all this hardship. May Allah make it easy for them. Want to make dua? Nah. The imam, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That's it. That's four sajdatain right there. Huh?
أحد ما في. هذا ويقوم الله أكبر. أين؟ لا يا شيخ، قال الإمامة ولاية والوالي يجب عليه أن يفعل ما هو أنفع وأصلح. The imam is there, he has great responsibility. He's responsible. He's not praying by himself. And even if he pray by himself, he can't just pray like quickly like that. So if a person is leading the salah, he has to make sure, especially in Taraweeh, when people they come to Taraweeh, they don't just come, don't really, they are ready. Especially this is a waqt fadil, this is a noble time, this is a month of Ramadan. People they come from Taraweeh, it's okay, they want to pray for 1 hour, 1 hour and 20 minutes. They can, no problem. 11 rak'ah in 1 hour and 20 minutes, they be happy. Because now the imam is going to give them more time in sujood. Because that person, me, I want to make dua for my parents. I want to make dua for my children, my wife. I want to make dua for my cousins. I want to make dua for my grandparents. I want to make dua for my brothers and my friends. I want to make dua for the Muslims who are going through a lot of hardship. I want to make dua for the rulers. May Allah rectify their affairs. Make dua. So is it 3 seconds be enough? It's not going to be enough. I know. قال وكون الإمام لا يهتم إلا أن يخرج مبكرا هذا خطأ. Some imam he said all what matters to him is to finish the taraweeh so he can get done with it in a record time. So this is a mistake. بل الذي ينبغي أن يفعل ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله من إطالة القيام والركوع والسجود والقعود حسب الوارد ونكثر من الدعاء والقراءة والتسبيح وغير ذلك. But if a person chooses to pray 11 rak'ah because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray 11 rak'ah, now he has to follow how the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to perform this 11 rak'ah as well. Making qira'ah long, making ruku' longer, sujood longer. Ayna. And of course, a person taking consideration the people behind him, the elderly, the sick, and those people. This is Taraweeh. Those who are older, they cannot stand, they can sit. The people who are sick, they cannot stand, they sit, inshallah ta'ala. But this is waqt fadil. You choose the number, but choose the kayfiyyah, the how it is performed, the garabi, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Now, as-su'al al-thalith. إذا صلى الإنسان خلف إمام يزيد على 11 ركعة فهل يوافق الإمام أو ينصرف أم ينصرف إذا أتم 11؟ Here is a question that has something to do with the question before it. Somebody wants to know, if a person in Ramadan, in Taraweeh, this is Taraweeh now, remember, a person come and pray behind his Imam, but this person wants to pray 11 ركعة. But now he finds now he's going to pray behind the imam who pray 23 rak'ahs. The imam, they pray taraweeh 23. Okay? And this happened in the haram. In the haram, they pray 23. They don't pray 11. In both, in Mecca and Medina, they pray 23. They don't pray 11. Okay? Ala ayin, he says, if a person is praying behind the imam, and that imam is going to pray more than 11 rak'ah, so is that person who usually wants to pray only 11, should he follow that imam and pray whatever that imam pray? Or just leave after 11? Al-jawab, as-sunnah an yuwafiq al-imam. Says the sunnah that he will do what the imam do. لأنه إذا انصرف قبل تمام الإمام لم يحصل له أجر قيام الليل. Because if he leave before the imam finish, like somebody after 10 rak'ah, what they do? They leave. After 8, they leave and pray witr at home. He said, if that person leave and the people they still pray in taraweeh, but he left. He said that person he's not gonna have the reward of qiyam al-layl the whole night. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith that is collected by Imam Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi, and Imam Albani declared it to be sahih, an authentic hadith, man qama ma'al imam hatta yansarif kutiba lahu qiyamul layla. Allahu akbar. If a person pray Taraweeh with the Imam, but until that Imam finish. Whenever the Imam finish and say, that's it, we finish Taraweeh now, Allah will give that person the reward of a whole night. The Qiyam of a whole night. قال من أجل أن يحثنا على المحافظة على البقاء مع الإمام حتى ينصرف. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم inciting us to stay with the Imam until the Imam finish, until the Imam complete the Taraweeh. قال فإن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وافقوا إمامهم في أمر زائد عن المشروع في صلاة واحدة وذلك مع أمير المؤمنين عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه حين أتم الصلاة في ميناء في الحج. أي صلىها 4 ركعات مع أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبا بكر وعمر وعثمان في أول خلافته حتى عثمان في أول خلافته حتى مدى 8 سنوات كانوا يصلون ركعتين ثم صلى 4 وأنكر الصحابة عليه ذلك ومع ذلك هذا كانوا يتبعونه يصلون معه 4. The Sheikh says the Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم they used to follow the Imam. And he mentioned the incident and the something that happened in the time of the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu. In Hajj, when you go to Mina, the Salat in Mina, all the Hujjaj, all of them, even the people that lives in Mina, they from there, from Mecca, that, this has nothing to do with traveling or not. All, anybody who's performing Hajj, they pray Dhuhr, Asr, Isha, 2 rak'at in Mina. All of them. And this used to be the case in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, time of Abu Bakr, Umar, and the first 8 years of Uthman Khilafah. But then Uthman, he completed the Salat, 4. Of course, the Sahaba, they told him from the Ibn Mas'ud, told him that this is the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, this, but they didn't pray 2, and they left. They pray 4 behind him. They pray 4, and agreed with the Imam. قال فإذا كان هذا هدي الصحابة وهو الحرص على متابعة الإمام فما بال بعض الناس إذا رأى الإمام زائدا عن العدد الذي كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزيد عليه وهو 11 ركعة انصرفوا في أثناء الصلاة كما نشاهد بعض الناس في المسجد الحرام ينصرفون قبل الإمام بحجة أن المشروع 11 ركعة. The Sheikh said, if this is the case, the صحابة رضوان الله عليهم, they pray behind Uthman رضي الله عنه, even though they know they prayed this salat, the same salat with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم too, but they didn't leave. He said, so what is the case? Why certain people they pray behind the Imam, and as soon as the Imam they know he's going to pray more than 11, they leave after. Once they pray 11 or even less than that, they leave. He says, as we see certain people, they do that in the Haram, because the Haram they pray more than 11. He said, and they leave. And they say, what is their hujjah? What is their excuse? They says, no, well, guess what? The sunnah is only 11. Ay, no. No. And we're going to stop here, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to listen to some of the questions. As I'll do listen, but as I don't promise no answers, inshallah. Tfaddal.
So the questioner asks, if one wakes up for suhoor late but mistakenly thinks it is still suhoor time and eats, realizing afterwards that he ate after Fajr started, is the fast valid or does it have to be made up?
We mentioned this. If a person got up and they think that it's still night and they ate, and later on they find out that actually it was time, Fajr is already in, there is nothing against them, they can continue their fast, inshallah ta'ala. Actually, the next question was going to deal with that anyway. Now, of course, people now they're going to ask some questions that is we're going to learn, because remember, I choose this 48 questions and answers. So whether we have to wait until the end of the class, or it's up to you, or just read the questions and I can say it's going to come later on.
The second question asks, can women of the family pray Tarawih at home together if they can't go to the masjid, or should each woman pray by herself?
We get back with you on that one.
The next question, how can a woman tell if she had a wet dream? Does she need to make ghusl for prayers or not, if it was not intentional?
Nah, we have a hadith. If the woman see the water as well, nah, she will have a wet dream, because the woman have water the same way a man have that water. That what, alhamdulillah, by Allah's leave, the baby come, inshallah ta'ala, you know, the woman get pregnant. So if the women they have a wet dream, they have to make the ghusl as well. They have to make the ghusl for the salat. But this ghusl is not for someone who have a dream. For example, the ulama, they says the ibrah is by the witness, not by the dream itself. So if a person got up and then they find that liquid, the sperm or something for the man, and the liquid of the woman, then that's it, ghusl is wajib. Even if they don't remember they have some dream or not. The same way, it works the other way around, the ulama, they says. A person had a dream, have intimacy and everything, but he got up, he's dry. Nothing, no ghusl on that person. Okay? No.
The question asked, when is a good age to start teaching children to fast?
This question, alhamdulillah, when it's the good age, Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he set for us the manhaj by which, and the year by which we began to teach our children. Al-allimuhum li-sab'in, the salat, the most important thing. Teach them when they reach the age of 7. But you teach. Not like you have to fast. You're 7 now. You're a man, all right? If I see you eating, boy, I'm going to get you. No, this is not from the sunnah. You're going to get who? Somebody got to get you. You're the one that somebody going to get. No, you encourage the children. If you see children that reach the age of 7, 8, 9, and they are not reached the puberty yet, because if a girl, for example, or a boy reach the age of puberty, even if they are 9, now they have to fast. Because if a girl now she has her cycle, and she's 9 years old, what would tell her? Now you're still young? No, she fast, because now she became responsible. But before they reach the age of puberty, we encourage them, but we don't force them. And the Sahaba, radhiyallahu anhum, they used to encourage them, because this way they ينشأون على العبادة. They grow up upon ibadah. You don't wait until when they reach the age of puberty. Now some of them, they don't reach the age of puberty, they're like 13 or 14. Now fast. I don't know, because they don't know what fasting is. Now inshallah we encourage them, the age of 7, 8, they fast, alhamdulillah, and we'll be happy when they fast. Give them gifts and the like. Now,
the question asks, does one get the full night's reward of prayer if he only prays witr with the imam without an excuse? Or must one pray with the imam the whole tarawih and witr, inshallah?
If the imam pray only witr and you pray with him witr, it's okay. You prayed with the imam. All right? Salah. The hadith is clear. However, man qama ma'al imam, whoever prayed with the imam from the beginning, not somebody who's going to come in the last 3 rak'at, la. Whoever start with the imam and finish when the imam finished. That's one way to get the ajr of qiyam layl, one layla. Who knows there is another way to do that, to pray isha in jama'ah, in the masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, whoever pray the isha, and inshallah we're here, we're going to pray isha, we're going to get this reward inshallah. You get the reward as though you stood up half of the night. So when are you going to get the other half? When you pray Fajr in Jama'ah, Allahu Akbar. So these are two ways. That one is in Ramadan, because Taraweeh is in Ramadan. And now you have every day, alhamdulillah, you pray Isha in the masjid with the Jama'ah. you get the reward for half of the night. You come and pray Fajr in Jama'ah, you get the reward another half night, alhamdulillah. Nah.
My question is, who decides when Ramadan begins? Because I have been in communities where they wait until Saudi Arabia says it's time for Ramadan, and then some people, communities say that when Isna says it's Ramadan. So to me, I think that someone who is the leader of the community decides. But communities seem to rely on Saudi Arabia, or they rely on Isna or somebody else to tell them, okay, tomorrow we start.
This question, the brother, he says, I'm not going to mention everything he says, but how, what is the proper way we Muslims, we know that Ramadan starts, okay? This is going to come later on in details, but now I'm going to give you a general answer, okay? But you come, inshallah, if you come in our classes, you're going to see the explanatory version with the Adilla and this. However, based on the Adilla that I'm not going to mention right now and in details, because it's going to take us maybe more time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi." You fast if you see the crescent of the month of Ramadan. And before that, we have an ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Qal faman shahida minkum ash-shahra falyasum." Whoever sight the crescent of the month of Ramadan should fast. So let's see, now this is very important, that what decides the beginning of the month, any month, is the sighting of the moon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi fa in ghumma alaykum faqduru la." See, I broke the rule, now I'm bringing adilla. Because you cannot just give an answer with adilla. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, fast when you see it and break the fast when you see it. But when you go inside the moon and you don't see it, what you do? He says you complete that month 30, and automatically the following day become the first. So that's the local side, and this is the strongest opinion, by the way, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned, and the ulama. But then we have a global side too. If one Muslim see it in the east or the west, all the Muslims who knows about it can fast. But actually, the ulama, they said the same way, there is a times difference in the zone times, time zones. Now it's Isha, we're about to pray Isha. What about Saudi itself? What about China? China, they already prayed Fajr, man. China, they are work. They put in connecting wires together right now. They busy working. We're about to go to sleep. Huh? So they says, look, the same way, the time of Fajr, nobody can say, look, if in Egypt they pray in Dhuhr, we gotta pray Dhuhr here too. What Dhuhr? We didn't pray Fajr yet. Now they says the same way that time zones for the prayers, they varies, the same way the beginning. But alhamdulillah, but they says to us, the ulama, we ask them, they says, look, if in your local they have trustworthy people who they follow the sunnah, that calculation, because calculation is not from the sunnah, for someone to study the phases of the moon here and the stars, and then they tell you, look, based on the calculations, Ramadan is going to be on the 18th, like they do it already. That's not, we don't go with that, because that's against the sunnah. We don't go with Ikna or Isna or anybody who they base their, the beginning of the month or the Eid based on calculations. We don't do that. We follow the sunnah. If there is a people amongst us who wants to go and sight the moon every month, that's good. If not, then they can go. It's okay to go with the country. There is no one from the countries to follow the sunnah like Saudi Arabia. There is nothing wrong with that. Nah. Fadlan.
And the one who was copying, both would have their
practice. Yes.
However, we know from the hadith of Anas that he had the physical capability to be caught without having to break his fast. So is there a difference of opinion?
Naam, ahsant. There is a khilaf. There is a khilaf, but that's what the Shaykh he rajjah. Naam. And there is a, the ulama, they mention if there is a difference of opinion, do what's better for your religion. And also you have to understand this matter that if for example somebody bring a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ did it, you've got to keep in mind that the Prophet ﷺ is not like us. There are certain things that the Prophet ﷺ did or the like that's specific for him. But this doesn't mean whatever the Prophet ﷺ did is specific to him. No, there is a lot of things that the Prophet ﷺ did we are commanded to do. We just have to refer it to the people of knowledge. But Jazakallah khair for bringing that. We're just keeping it like summarized version here, okay? No.
For example, the person who made the intention before going to sleep, he fasted this day. However, he didn't wake up for pleasure. He knows why he made it, or he went
The intention. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, this is a question coming. Does the first intention at the first, when Ramadan comes, person he's gonna make the intention to fast. Is that enough, or that the person has to do it every night? There is difference of opinions. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said that's enough. Amongst many other ulama, the first intention when Ramadan comes, you're happy because the intention is in your heart. It's not like someone gonna stand somewhere and say, "Here I am standing, oh Allah, at this place next to this good brother right here, making my intention for you, oh Allah." La. This is when a person says, "Oh, Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, may Allah help us to fast." That's intention. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, that's okay. Unless he said, if a person broke his fast through illness or safar journey, then he will make the intention again. And once again, it's not verbal. It's not from the sunnah. Ayna. Wafiqam bari. Tfadal,
Shaykh. If someone has sugar, and they're going to test the sugar every day, twice a day,
Could they be fast? They test with the insulin. Yeah. It depends. If these people, mashallah, if the doctor tell them, look, fasting, it's okay, doesn't bother you. Yes, they can test themselves as long as they don't take no medicine. But if they take any oral medicine, that break their fast. If they swallow any pills or take any drinks, that break the fast. But if the doctor told them, "Yo, listen, you cannot fast. Oh, 15 hours? La, you have to eat every 3 hours. You gotta eat everything every 3 hours." So those people now, they don't fast. They shouldn't say, "I don't care what the doctor says, I'm gonna fast." La, because now they're gonna put a hardship on themselves. Now they should break the fast, and they don't make it up because they have a chronic illness. Marad Muzmin. So all they have to do is to feed a poor person every day. Okay? Inshallah. But if a person, they have a diabetic, but the doctor, trustworthy doctor says, "No, you're okay. It's not, your diabetic is not that problem. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah. You can fast. Go ahead. Try to fast. But if you feel lightheaded, if you feel any headaches, if you feel anything, report to me." But if that person go and fast, no problem, yes, he can fast. Not all sick person automatically has to break the fast. Okay? But if he try to fast, and he's lightheaded, dizzy, cannot even stand, now they break the fast. And they fear Allah to the best of their abilities, okay? No.
So why do you pray Tarawih in Jama'ah?
Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ did it. The Sahaba, they did it. Alhamdulillah, this is something. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the beginning, when he prayed, a group of our companions, they pray behind him. Doesn't matter if you pray once. Why? He has to be more than 3 days? Huh? Doesn't matter. The Sahaba did pray. In the time of Umar, they prayed the entire month. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to us, follow the way of the Khulafa al-Rashidun, and Umar is one of them. Okay? And he says, the best of the people is my generation, the companions. And the Sahaba, they will never do something that is not from Islam. Okay? So it is Naam. It is Sunnah. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he prayed it. And the most important thing we should remember is that at the third or the fourth night, he didn't come out. And a lot of people were there waiting. And he says, what prevent me from coming? Because I was afraid that he may become obligatory upon you. So it is recommended. Okay? So it is recommended, alhamdulillah, to pray Taraweeh. There is nothing wrong. It's not wajib. If somebody don't pray Taraweeh, nothing. But he's missing this great deal that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. This is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever stood with the Imam until, pray with the Imam, the Qiyam al-Layl, until the Imam finished. But that Qiyam al-Layl, you should understand, it's not, it has to be after Isha. It could be at the end of the night too. That's the best time. If there is a community somewhere that says, look, we're not going to pray Taraweeh after Isha. We always, from the beginning, we're just going to pray. We're going to come 3 hours before Fajr and pray. Actually, that's the best time to pray Qiyam al-Layl. But alhamdulillah, now a lot of people, that's what's easy for them to pray after Isha. That's what the people they do, they pray after Isha. And keep in mind that it is not wajib if a person choose not to pray. It's okay. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't pray it, continue praying it. See? He wants to do it, the Prophet ﷺ. But he was afraid that it become obligatory upon us. Can you imagine if Taraweeh was obligatory in the Muslims? How many of us will be in big trouble? How many of us? Subhanallah. Rahmah, this deen is deen of rahmah, deen of mercy. You say it, Akhwan? No. The asthma, the inhaler. That's why I chose this book. 48 questions and answers. All of these questions, you guys are going to read them in here. We finished the seminar. If I answer all the questions, we're going to finish the seminar tonight. Because the book we're reading from is 48 questions. But we can answer you, alhamdulillah, since you asked. Naam, the inhaler for the people of asthma, do not break the fast. Sheikh is going to mention it in here, called Bakhakh. Do not break the fast. I give you even a bonus. You want it? Sheikh Ubaid, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, I just heard it a couple of weeks ago. Somebody asked him, he said, "Ya Sheikh, is it permissible for this brother who has asthma? And we were praying in the heat and in a masjid and he was wheezing. But he has his inhaler. Can he use it or not?" So I said, "Yes, he should. Because the man is wheezing, the man is passing out. He should go to his pocket and use it in the salah. That's a bonus." The other question was about blood. If somebody see the blood, break the fast. Madhab Yahya. Ala Madhab Yahya. ليس يحيى بن معين يحيى البرتغالي ها تفضل That's gonna come later on, so all right. نعم جزاكم الله خير.
We'll suffice with this for this evening, and we'll continue the questions as we have more questions. We'll continue with them tomorrow بإذن الله. The program will start tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. And it will go from 3:30 all the way to Salat al-Aisha with different breaks, and we have dinner as well. I was going to mention as well. And our brother Saeed Rana will give a talk after Salat al-Fajr tomorrow, which is at 5:30 a.m. The Iqama is at 5:30 a.m. for Fajr, and then we'll have a brief talk from our beloved guest speaker as well. Brother Saeed Rana. So again, we welcome you tomorrow to begin from Fajr, and then we will continue at 3:30 till Salat al-Isha. Jazakallah khair. We'll end it here. هذا وصلى نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.